Well, good evening and welcome to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 5pm. As it's budget day here on the Isle of Man, we're going to take you through the main announcements that we've heard so far today. So from the Treasury Minister's initial remarks this morning, where he described the financial plan as representing stability, security and confidence, to those tax changes and how they will affect you, the health spending for the coming year and some of the timid reaction that we've heard to it all. As we speak, Chris Thomas is summing up his remarks. So before the end of the programme, we may know whether or not this year's budget has been approved. Incidentally, if you want a rundown of the main budget news, head over to our budget mini site that you can find at manxradio.com and you'll get a breakdown of all the details there. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com with any of your thoughts. But first, as ever, we'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Darren Fastamai.
And after a month as Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas has unveiled the budget for the next year. Among the headlines are an increase in personal tax allowance and pension, over £400 million for the island's health and care services, and around £2.6 million to upgrade facilities at the NSC and the Ball. Mr. Thomas spoke of confidence during his speech.
We all need a solid boost of confidence. Confidence to secure jobs, confidence to increase private investment, and confidence to export and grow the economy.
Elsewhere, Treasury announced it wants to reduce its reliance on reserves over the next 5 years, despite spending £126 million in order to balance the budget this year. The island's reserves are forecast to grow by £1.95 billion in the coming financial year to £2.2 billion in 2030 to 2031. You can view the full coverage of the budget at manxradio.com. Meanwhile, tonight's sailings to Heysham and back have been cancelled due to the forecast adverse weather. Tomorrow's daytime Heysham sailings remain subject to possible disruption or cancellation, though the evening's voyage is due to depart as scheduled. In international news, Reverend A.I. Sharpton says his friend and ally Jesse Jackson changed the shape of the United States and paved the way for the first black president of the U.S. The veteran civil rights activist has died at the age of 84 after a lifetime campaigning against racial injustice. A deal could soon be on the table in nuclear talks between Iran and the US. Tehran says there's been progress but wants Washington to stop threatening to use military force. And a landmark off the Italian coast known as the Lover's Arch has collapsed. The rock formation in Puglia fell down on Valentine's Day. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Still that yellow weather warning in that just finished a short time ago. That was for the wintry showers. There is another amber warning for coastal overtopping. That comes into force at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. The general forecast then, dry this evening and tonight. Strong east or southeast winds developing though. Minimum temperatures around 3 in most places. It will be sub-zero on the hills. Tomorrow generally will be dry, cloudy but windy. That east or southeast wind will continue to be strong. It might be gale force in a few spots. Maximum temperatures then only 5 Celsius and feeling so much colder in that wind. And that coastal overtopping will happen around exposed coastal roads and promenades for a couple of hours around the time of high tide, which is around midday tomorrow.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
OK, so we've got something of a budget special for you tonight. The Treasury Minister this morning told Tim Ward this year's budget represents stability, security and confidence. Chris Thomas believes the financial plan sets out a pathway towards reducing the island's reliance on general reserves. Revenue spending for 26-27 is budgeted at £1.47 billion, representing a spend of £18,280 for every person on the Isle of Man. Mr Thomas said he really wanted to encourage growth over here.
We all need a solid boost of confidence. Confidence to secure jobs, confidence to increase private investment, and confidence to export and grow the economy. That is why I added confidence to stability and security as a third byword for this year's budget tagline when taking up my new role a few weeks ago. To encourage that confidence, the Chief Minister and I signalled a substantial rise in the personal allowance, alongside slowing down the rise in the minimum wage and cancelling the package of previously proposed minimum wage adaptation measures in January. the proposed rise will increase most taxpayers' take-home pay, lifting about 3,600 people out of the tax net, and is aimed at boosting disposable income in the local economy. It will make many taxpayers nearly £500 better off each year. Mr. President, honourable members, today I am pleased to announce an increase in the personal tax allowance from April of £2,250, so that the individuals will start paying on annual earnings over £17,000 and jointly assessed couples from £34,000. This is triple the £750 proposed until the budget revisions took place a few weeks ago. And that proposed £750 rise was already triple the only other rises since 2021. This change is expected to reduce income tax receipts by up to £24 million. But £15 million of that relates to measures introduced since I became Treasury Minister, partly offset by stronger income tax forecasts, resulting in a net additional reduction of income tax of £10 million. This change to the personal tax allowance means that the higher rate of income tax, frozen at 21%, now becomes payable at an income of £23,500. This means someone working up to 35 hours a week on the new hourly minimum wage rate would not pay tax at the higher rate.
Well, that was Chris Thomas, the Treasury Minister, in Tynwald this morning. So I think when politicians talk about tax cuts or tax relief, what most people really want to know is how much more money will I actually have? Well, Christian is down in the Tynwald Chamber currently, having the best time as ever, I'm sure. He's been looking at the numbers for us. Fastamai, Christian, just give us an overview then of what we can expect to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are two main changes working together. First, the headline, as we've already heard, the personal allowance is rising. That's the amount that you earn before paying income tax. And for a person, for a single person, that's going up from £14,750 to £17,000. For jointly assessed couples, effectively double that. The tax rates themselves aren't changing, only the headline rates. They stay at 10% and 21%. So what changes is how much of your income is actually exposed to those rates, in essence. For single full-time workers, that extra £2,250 allowance would often have been taxed at 21%, so the saving works out at around about £472.50 a year for jointly assessed couples who can use the full uplift, around about £945.
Christian, the national insurance is shifting as well.
Yeah. So the starting point for employee national insurance, that's rising from £168 to £176 per week. The rates stay at 11% and 1%, but because the threshold moves up, people pay NI on a slightly smaller slice of their earnings. For someone earning around £35,000 a year, for example, that's worth roughly £45 to £50 annually.
OK, so if you were good with figures and you put it all together, what would you get?
Well, for a single employee on £35,000, the combined effect is about £520 a year, roughly £43 a month. So it's not transformative, but it is additive.
Who benefits most then?
Well, those earning enough to fully use the higher allowances will see the biggest cash gain. Lower earners below the thresholds will see little change, and higher earners may even see the benefit tapers away. There have been numerous accusations of this being an election budget, that the government is making unfunded tax breaks and relying on reserves. But this document will potentially be approved. We're not sure yet. The vote is still ongoing. I think the Treasury Minister is summing up at the moment. Whether you agree one way or another, what you can expect to see is a little bit more money in your pay packets over the next financial year if this is approved.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. Well, if you want to see how it will affect you, you can head over to the Manx Radio website, and our budget mini site is brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man. There's a calculator on there, so you can put in your earnings and work out what your take-home pay will be when you base it on what your figures actually are. What we've also heard today is that healthcare funding will increase if this budget is approved, but the Chief Minister says Manx Care's ability to deliver its services on budget remains a serious concern. Now, the Department of of Health and Social Care receive an extra £45 million for the year ahead, taking the funds available for health services to £412 million. Alfred Cannon said there may be a serious look to the future of funding options for health.
No one, Mr. President, can criticise this administration for not supporting health. Their budget has increased by £200 million, effectively an increase of 100% since 2021. This year, a further £40 million is allocated, a sum that takes Manx Care above the funding formula recommended by Sir Jonathan Michael. I know the Health Minister is well aware of the financial challenges faced by her department, and more importantly, how much healthcare spending has ballooned. I congratulate her for the work she is doing to get a grip on costs and to understand future funding requirements. But the continued growth of healthcare spending at its current annual rate of 12%, a figure, Mr. President, far outstripping the balance needed between forecasted income and expenditure, remains a real concern. A concern that will not just rest on my shoulders. I know that the great majority of members in this honourable place absolutely recognise that healthcare spending, if it cannot be brought under control, will present a serious and significant threat to the proportionality of the Manx budget, a threat to proportionality that will undoubtedly mean fundamental changes to either taxation, the funding of healthcare itself, or a fundamental change to other services delivered to the public by the Isle of Man government. I take heart from the assurances in this budget that healthcare spending will be £475 million in 2030-2031 if Manx Care can adhere to its spending forecasts. I take fright at the projected increase to £650 million if Manx Care cannot control its budget. That in itself would raise spending from the current 35%, healthcare spending from the current 35% of total available income to 48%. That is serious and significant. And so, whilst I welcome the Health Minister's assurances regarding ongoing work to specify demand-related costs, I still cannot help but feel that sooner rather than later, a serious look at future funding options will have to be taken.
OK, so that was the Chief Minister Alfred Cannon speaking after the Treasury Minister gave his opening remarks in Tynwald this morning. We knew the vote was near and it has now been completed. John Moss is with me. So what can you tell us, John?
Well, I can tell you it was the same vote as last year, 16 for, 8 against, but it differed slightly in Legco, 5 for, 2 against. There was an appeal from Mr Thomas for the Unholy Alliance, as he termed them, he was actually a member of the Unholy Alliance a year ago when Dr. Allenson brought his through. So he's won the day. The ice had it this morning on the roads. It was freezing, and the eyes had it in Tynwald today. And he's managed, after 3 weeks, to pull it off basically. Because when he was given the job 3 weeks ago, a lot of people thought, does he have enough time to actually get to grips with this budget and present it? Well, he's done it, and he's managed to put it through Tynwald. So this is the budget that Alf Cannon and Mr Cannon put forward, a very lengthy, passionate speech. This is the budget that Mr Cannon will take with him, armed with this, to the election on the 23rd of September.
John, thank you very much indeed. So 16 for, 8 against in the House of Keys, 5-2 in Legislative Council. We'll have the full details of who voted for and against on the Manx Radio website very, very shortly. It is coming up to 5:15. So we're talking about health then. This morning, Minister Claire Christian said she was confident in Manx Care's financial recovery plan. The Treasury Minister described healthcare as a real beneficiary of this year's Pink Book. So what it means is Manx Care's total budget for the financial year will now be £404.2 million. That's up from £361.8 million last year. Chris Thomas says this funding increase means that for the first time since its inception, the health body is going to be funded in line with the recommendations from the 2019 Sir Jonathan Michael report. So is this how Manx Care's CEO sees it? Well, Theresa Cope has been giving us her reaction this afternoon.
So we very much welcome this budget and this settlement, and we do recognise that this is a 12% uplift on last year. And we know that is beyond the funding formula that takes us back to where Sir Jonathan Michael's report expected us to be. So very much welcome this settlement, very much appreciate the effort the DHSC and Minister Christian has gone to secure this funding for Manx Care. I think when we put this into context, there is recognition that healthcare is incredibly important. And what Minister Christian has, I think, very much demonstrated is the importance placed, on being able to fund the mandate appropriately. And I would say that as the chief executive of Manx Care, what we have is a mandate that is properly funded for probably the first time where we have been able to secure the level of investment needed to deliver everything that we've been asked to do in the mandate. Recognising the mandate is still to be properly debated in Tynwald in March. But I think, you know, when we think about health inflation and the true costs of healthcare, what we know is that health inflation was running at over 17% in this financial year. And it is expected to be in excess of 12% in 2026. So that sort of level of funding, that 12% funding uplift, actually matches the level of health inflation, the true costs of delivering healthcare, the true costs of a service which is predominantly based on staff costs, but we also have expensive drugs and consumables, and also the costs of taking patients across to England for the essential tertiary care that they need. So, you know, I do recognise this is a significant investment in health, but very much welcomed by the Manx Care Board.
That's the Manx Care CEO, Teresa Cope, there. We'll bring you much more of that interview in tomorrow morning's breakfast programme. As we know now, the budget has been approved in Tynwald in the past few minutes.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So the main thing today is the steam packet sailing this evening to Heysham has been cancelled because of the weather. There's also a question mark over tomorrow morning's 8 a.m. sailing as well. A decision on that scheduled to be made around about 6 a.m. All looking okay down at the airport. And then it's the main things to look out for. Cuaig until the 17th of April. Temporary lights at the bottom of Cuaig Hill. That's just near the railway bridge for sewer works 24 hours a day. The Ballalie Road in Kirkmichael is closed for resurfacing. And for the next fortnight in Ramsey, Albert Road and Waterloo Road are closed for excavation work.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
So it's coming up to 18 minutes past five. I always like to know who voted for and who voted against. John's back now with those details. What's the story then, Johnny?
Well, as we heard, 16 for, 8 against. Those who voted against: Dr. Hayward, Mr. Glover, Mr. Hooper, Mrs. Maltby, Mr. Morehouse, Joni Farragher, the Speaker. He voted against it last year as well, as did Mr. Wannenberg, who voted against it this time. Now, interestingly, Legco usually go for it wholeheartedly, but this time two voted against it, and that was Mrs. August Phillips and Rob Mercer. They voted against in Legco.
So no major surprises, really. I think a lot of those names we would have expected to be the people who would vote against.
Yes, especially from their contributions. You listened to it and you thought, quite a few added at the end, I'm going to vote against this. So you would expect that at this stage, 16-8 is acceptable, I suppose, because it's given him a reasonable majority to take forward.
It certainly has. John, thank you very much indeed. As I say, those details will be available on the Manx Radio website, so you can check them out a little bit later. Let's just go back to the former Infrastructure Minister, though, because during her contribution this morning, she said this year's budget creates a permanent hole in government's revenue and trades structural discipline for short-term applause. Dr. Michelle Hayward, who was sacked from the Council of Ministers last month, as we know, told the court she just couldn't support the budget, and she criticised the timing of it ahead of this year's general election.
This budget is not just a betrayal of the Island Plan. It is a blatant pre-election attempt to buy votes with a reckless and irresponsible hardening of the structural deficit. The ringmaster will no doubt raise his voice and, like P.T. Barnum in Full Flow, direct you to look at the headlines, marvel at his generosity, be dazzled by the bright lights and the sequins. The Treasury Minister would like you to chase the ace. Don't question the numbers. Chase the ace. Don't ask about the true and lasting impact of this reckless giveaway budget. Mr. President, confidence in our island, real confidence, is built not by how dramatic the act looks. Confidence is built by operating in a predictable, responsible and fair way. This budget is presented as confident, but it risks being remembered as careless. It fails to address the structural deficit. It accelerates our depletion of reserves. It constrains the next administration before it's even been formed. Confidence built on structurally deficit budgets is not structural strength, it's just consumption. Real confidence is not the volume of the band. It's whether the tent is still standing when the lights go down. Mr. President, I think by now you'll have gathered that I cannot in all conscience support this budget. It creates a permanent hole in revenue, it weakens our long-term fiscal position, and it trades structural discipline for short-term applause. It's a reckless departure from the principles of sustainable public finance that we have spent years building and defending. And there have been difficult decisions in departments over the last 4 years in order to stick to that principle. But we're going to abandon that now. Real confidence is not declared, it's demonstrated. This is not a steady hand on the ropes. It is a flourish of the top hat before the trapdoor opens. For those reasons, I will not be supporting this budget today.
Wow, that's a former Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward, the Russian MHK, who was, as we know, as I say, sacked from the Council of Ministers last month, describing it as a reckless giveaway budget. I mean, do you agree? Any thoughts on that? Do let us know. And somebody else who had questions over it was the Onkin MHK, Rob Callister. Now, he said commitments made in the budget will have broad public appeal in an election year. He supported the financial plan for the year ahead, but he did question how much raising the personal income tax allowance would cost in the long term. He also questioned whether the move would help those who are genuinely struggling with cost of living pressures. And if you'd like to see more of his comments, then you can head over to the Manx Radio website. Something broadly positive, though, was the multi-million pound investment in the National Sports Centre that was announced as part of the budget this morning. Manx Radio sports editor Rob Pritchard has the details on that.
Under Treasury Minister Chris Thomas's proposals, more than £2.6 million will be spent over the next 3 years to upgrade and modernise facilities there. Announced as part of this year's Manx budget. This will include £900,000 to be invested in the centre's athletics track, £850,000 to be spent on the all-weather pitch at the Bowl, and £880,000 on mechanical and electrical systems in the main building. It'll be part of preparations for the Isle of Man hosting the International Ireland Games in 2029. The last time the event was held here was in 2001. Treasury adds the improvements will also promote greater year-round use by the local community. Education, Sport and Culture Minister Daphne Kane is welcoming the latest budget proposal for her department, but also warns they'll have to remain prudent when it comes to spending.
Whilst it has been another year of focus on financial efficiency, my department welcomes the budget. Across education, sport and culture, our work touches every community and every generation. These sectors shape opportunity, strengthen well-being and help define who we are. I would like to start by offering my thanks to all the dedicated staff within my department for their hard work and efforts in the last financial year. We now look forward to the year ahead and the exciting opportunities that this will bring. Progress continues to be made on actions within the department's plan, and this year's budget will see the progress continue. Alongside our core focus on education, my department recognises that continued investment in sport, youth, culture, music and arts is essential for the well-being of our island. The department has released a new 10-year sports strategy, which will build on the strong foundations of the last decade, ensuring that we continue to enrich lives and strengthen communities through accessible opportunities to participate in sport and physical activity for everyone, whether that be in childhood or later in life. We continue to widen access to sport, culture and the arts across the island. Whilst I've taken the opportunity to outline a small part of the progress my department continues to make, I believe it would be irresponsible not to acknowledge that we must continue to be financially efficient. As such, my department will continue to prioritise funds and allocate resources to ensure it delivers its statutory service, while also seeking opportunities to generate additional income where possible. This budget enabled us to deliver on our commitment to provide and support our high quality services, providing wider opportunities that enable the community we serve to thrive.
Well, that's the Education Minister Daphne Kane speaking in Tim Wald this morning. If you're all budgeted out, you probably do want to listen to the programme that we've got coming up just after the 6 o'clock news. It's a special budget bite-size I Am One programme. If you've never heard the show before, it's a satirical, tongue-in-cheek look at all things to do with Manx life and particularly Manx politics. And I think you'll really enjoy this one. Time now, though, for sport, brought to us by The Print Shed. And here's Rob again.
Fast am I. Well, first off tonight, Manx athlete David Mullarkey has shattered his own Isle of Man men's 5,000-metre track race record. Competing over the distance at the Asics Sound Invite in North Carolina in the USA, the Ireland competitor went on to finish fourth in the men's 5,000-metre race in 30 minutes, 18.4 seconds. His time is more than 5 seconds quicker than his previous record-breaking pace of 30 minutes, 23.75 seconds set in Boston last year. As well as setting a new national benchmark, Mullarkey's performance was also a new indoor personal best. Well, as of now, Mullarkey currently holds 5 men's track and field Isle of Man records. Along with the men's 5,000 metres, he holds the men's 10,000 metre record from last year, the men's 1,500 metre and 1 mile records from 2022, and the men's 3,000 metre benchmark in 2021. And more generally, it's the third Manx athletics record to be broken in as many days, after Regan Corran set a new standard in the men's high jump and Sarah Aston set a new top time for the women's marathon. In cycling, the route for this year's new-look Gran Fondo Isle of Man has been unveiled by organisers. Having previously run as a road event for the last decade, 2026 will see the meeting switch to a mountain bike and gravel series for the first time in July. It's been confirmed the main Gran Fondo gravel and mountain bike cross-country races will cover around 60 miles, starting in Ramsey and finishing in Port Erin, and including 30 designated off-road and sea road sectors. Among the landmark areas it'll pass through will be Ballacorry Farm, the Currags, the Keller, Ballacarnane Farm, Seven Gates, Archaligan Plantation and Erie Cushlin. The shift to an MTB and gravel racing focus is, officials say, aligning the event with the rapid growth of gravel cycling while remaining true to the Gran Fondo ethos of challenge, inclusivity and shared experience. Well, the 2026 Gran Fondo Isle of Man weekend will run from the 25th to the 26th of July and involve a total of 4 races over 2 days, and entries will open in just over a week's time on the 25th of February. And in hockey, the first of 2 midweek top flight fixtures takes place tonight. This evening there's men's Premier League action as league leaders and defending champions Backers A take on bottom of the table Vikings B, who are still searching for their first league triumph of the campaign. Tonight's clash will get underway at the NSC in Douglas at 8:30.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Well, that is all from Update this evening. If you missed anything to do with the budget and you want to have a quick look, do head over to the Manx Radio website, brought to you by Crowe Isle of Man. It's our budget mini site. And thank you so much to the news team for pulling everything together. Some great reactions on there already. Coming up next, it's Countryside with Simon and Kiri. Then, as we say, that special I Am One programme to mark Budget Day. Honestly, have a listen. It's brilliant. And Greatest Hits will then start at 6:15. John Barker's here at 9 with a folk show. Dave Moore's here at 10 with the whatever his show is.